Salam dear listeners and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu and today we move on learning another very beautiful bhajan which used to be sung in the Sanctum Sanctorum of Prashant Nilayam in the 60s and 70s, a very lovely bhajan on Lord Krishna. Here is how the first line of the bhajan flows.
Giridhar mere Gopala.
So we will learn more about this bhajan, the lyrics of the bhajan, the tune, the raga, the beat, and then we will also dwell on the inner significance of the different words that make this bhajan. We will have a conversation with Mr. Sonam Gyamso, a former student of Bhagwan's University, who also had the privilege of singing in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan for more than 10 years, and even now continues to sing in the Prashant Nilayam Mandir whenever he is in Prashant Nilayam. He will share his insights about what this bhajan conveys to us. So let's get started with the lyrics.
Giridhara mere Gopala, Radhe Gopala, Sai Gopala, Nanda Kishora, Makhan Chora, Yashoda Bala, Gopala, Radhe Gopala, Sai Gopala.
Now that we are familiar with the lyrics, here is how this bhajan should be sung. Brother Srinivasulu, along with Brother Anirudh, will now give us a slow demonstration of the tune of the bhajan. Please pay attention and sing along.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale C sharp Pancham.
Giridhar mere Gopala, Giridhar mere Gopala, Giridhar mere Gopala, Giridhar mere Gopala, Radhe Gopala, Sai Gopala, Radhe Gopala, Sai Gopala, Radhe Gopala, Sai Gopala, Radhe Gopala, Sai Gopala, Nanda Kishora, Makhan Chora, Nanda Kishora, Makhan Chora, Nanda Kishora, Makhan Chora, Nanda Kishora, Makhan Chora, Yashoda Bala, Gopala, Yashoda Bala, Gopala, Yashoda Bala, Gopala, Yashoda Bala, Gopala, Radhe Gopala, Sai Gopala, Radhe Gopala, Sai Gopala, Radhe Gopala, Sai Gopala, Radhe Gopala, Sai Gopala, Giridhar mere Gopala,
So that's another lovely melody on Lord Krishna. Again a bhajan which used to reverberate in the presence of the Prashant Nilayam Mandir in the earlier times. It's lovely to listen to the tune, lovely to bring back those beautiful times. Let us learn a little more about the make of the bhajan. Anirudh is here with us to share his insights. So, what are your thoughts on the raga of the bhajan, Anirudh?
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
This wonderful vintage bhajan is based on rag Gauri Manohari in the Carnatic classical music. And in the Hindustani classical music, it is called as Pat Deep. And it's a beautiful raga with all the seven notes. Sa re shudri ga komal ga ma pa dha shuddha dha ni shuddhni sa. So from Shankaravarnam, that is Bilawal, if you take, only the ga is komal. If you change the ga from shuddha to komal, it becomes Patadeep or Gauri Manohari. Sa re ga ma pa dha ni sa, sa ni da pa ma ga re sa.
I think that makes a lot of difference, isn't it? That komal ga is adds so much beauty to the music.
Yes, yes. And also the shuddha dha, like sa re ga ma pa dha. So it has kind of a little bit of emotion. Pa dha ni sa da ma pa ga ma pa ga re. Sa re ga ma pa dha ni sa ni za re ga re ni sa da ma pa ga ma pa. I think each note plays its role in adding its own beauty to the raga. Pa dha ni sa re ga re sa ni sa da pa ma pa ga. Even the sa is also something like a rest state. So all the notes are important, and it's a very soulful raga, and it has a bit of emotion because of, as you said, the komal ga, and as I was showing that dha, and it's so beautiful that we incorporate this emotion in the bhajans, in our Sai bhajans, and we have many bhajans like Gauri Manohar He Nataraja, which has the raga name itself in the first line, Gauri Manohari. And Shambhu Kumara Gauri Tanaya Gajanana Sadaya Jaya Jaya Krishna Mukunda Govinda Giridhara Murali Mohana Narayana Ram Ram Jaya Raja Ram 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 Jaya Sita Ram. So you'd have observed the similarity in all these bhajans, and wonderful raga Gauri Manohari.
One interesting thought that comes to me is, as you mentioned, the bhajan Gauri Manohara, the raga is there. The mention of the raga is there in the bhajan itself.
Yes, yes.
I thought there are a few bhajans like that, isn't it? Like Mohana Raghurama.
Yes, yes.
That is in Mohanam.
Yes, Mohana Raghurama is in Mohanam.
Mohanam.
And you have Shri Rama Charanam Shri Ram Bhopala Chudamani.
Yes, Bhopalam. Bhopal.
And one more bhajan which comes to my mind is Sai Darbar Me Aao Aao Kirtan Karu Me Sai. So it's a beautiful Darbari bhajan. So Sai Darbar.
Maybe this is one interesting exercise that keen students of music and lover of Sai bhajans can do.
Yes. And I remember they included this exercise as part of the bhajan Antakshari during the summer course which happened recently in the Purnachandra Auditorium. So I remember it was the most toughest round. And because suddenly the mind tends to think all the bhajans come to your mind, but which bhajan has that raga name in
name,
it?
Yeah.
So, in that exercise, in that process, you might tend to compose some bhajans.
Yeah.
And, yes.
Yeah, we do see a lot of innovations, isn't it?
Yes.
On the spot innovations during bhajan antakshiris. Anyway. Good. So, let's move on with this bhajan.
Yes. So, let's take the first line.
Giridhar mere Gopala, nini sari sanida pa ma pa ga ma pa,
nini sari sanida pa ma pa ga ma pa.
Radhe Gopala, Sai Gopala.
Here it's important to note that the starting note of Gopala is the komal ni.
Ni, ni sa.
Whereas in the raga we had the shuddh ni. So it's a minor deviation, but it adds its own beauty and charm to the whole composition.
Radhe Gopala, Sai Gopala. Ga 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 ma ga ma pa ma ga re ni sa sa.
Ga 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 ma ga ma pa ma ga re ni sa sa.
Nanda Kishora Makhan Chora.
This line sounds a bit like one more raga called Abhiri or Bhimpalas, because the notes, the way the notes go is little similar to that raga.
Pa 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 ma pa ga ma pa pa ni pa ni ni sa.
Pa 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 ma pa ga ma pa pa ni pa ni ni sa.
Yashoda bala Gopala. Pa pa ri 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 sa nisa sari sa ni pa.
Pa pa ri 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 sa nisa sari sa ni pa.
Radhe Gopala, Sai Gopala. Ga 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 ma ga ma pa ma ga re ni sa sa.
Ga 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 ma ga ma pa ma ga re ni sa sa.
Beautiful. So let's do the beat of the bhajan also.
Yes, the beat of this bhajan is the regular 8 beat, Aditalam or the Kherva in the classical music. So let's have the count. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One.
Giridhar mere Gopala.
Giridhar mere Gopala.
Radhe Gopala, Sai Gopala.
Radhe Gopala, Sai Gopala.
Radhe Gopala, Sai Gopala.
Radhe Gopala, Sai Gopala.
So that gives us an idea of the beat also. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Anand.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
So with this, we are done with the swaras, the beat, all the technical aspects of the singing. Let's now focus on the bhava aspect of the bhajan. Here is a conversation with Brother Sonam Gyamso, a very senior alumnus who had the opportunity to sing in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan right from the 70s. Sai Ram, Brother Sonam, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom.
Sai Ram, Vishu.
You are one of the senior most members of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group, and probably you were there in Prashanti Nilayam during that transition phase.
Yeah.
When the students started singing along with the elders, along with the bhajan singers of the yesteryears.
So you were probably witness to that phase where you had the bhajan greats like Iradi sir and Mohan Rao sir and Raja Reddy sir,
yeah,
who were the bedrock of Prashanti Mandir bhajan singing when it all started in the early years in the 60s and 70s, and they continued the bhajan movement for so many years till,
yes,
the students came with the coming of the Prashant Nilam campus in the late 70s and early 80s. And I think perhaps in the early 80s and mid 80s, the boys started singing more often, and slowly Swami gave the chance to the boys to take over completely. But he allowed these
stalwarts.
Yeah, stalwarts to continue to sing, and you have Iradi sir singing even now.
Even now.
So if you can, you know, take us back to those times a little bit and then share what comes to you as you think about this bhajan too.
Yeah, as you said, bhajans used to be those days sung by these great devotees of Bhagwan. They were not only bhajan singers, but most of them were bhajan composers. And I still remember when we used to come here as students from Vrindavan, we used to be given the chance to sing in his presence. And these great musicians, they also would come. Quite often they would visit Prashanti Nilayam, and we would be all excited about learning good bhajans from them, listening to their style of singing bhajan. And as you said, slowly, it was a very transitional moment, a very transitional period. Because the earlier system of singing bhajan used to be, I would call it the classical age of bhajan singing in Prashanti Nilayam,
mm-hmm,
wherein without any ostentation, without any much accompaniment on the instruments, just a sa-pa-sa on the harmonium, it was almost like a drone out of a tanpura.
Mm-hmm.
People used to sing bhajan, and Swami would sit there for close to 2 hours every bhajan session inside the bhajan mandir. So when we started playing chords and playing harmonium, it was a transition. That itself was a transition. Maybe the dawn of the creative moment wherein we could sing bhajans to the accompaniment of chords and a few other instruments. So whenever these people used to come, I'm reminded of a wonderful singer and composer used to come here quite often. His name was Mr. Ranjan Jain. Later on, his son Vivek, who was my senior, he also joined the university here, the campus here. So Mr. Ranjan Jain, the moment you would look at him, his persona itself would define his deep interest in music, his expertise in music, the curly hair, and then the long jubba, the kurta.
Mm.
And he used to be all the time very immaculately dressed in dhoti and kurta. And then he would always have a rosary-like thing, a necklace around his neck. And the moment he would come, he would speak of nothing but bhajan. We would just tell him, "Uncle, you have come. Will you teach us some bhajans?" "Beta, or what else would I do here? I have brought so many new compositions." And that gentleman, he never needed a microphone, like I needed an amplifier. His voice was so powerful, and not only powerful, but extremely melodious. A fantastic singer. He could sing on the higher octaves, his note. He could just easily touch the note on the higher octaves. Fantastic, very powerful singer. He taught us so many bhajans, and we were all instrumental in sitting together and singing these bhajans in Swami's presence. Of course, he never played the harmonium. He would just keep the scale on the harmonium. And bhajans like "Man Mandir Me Sai Ram," "Sai Avatara Yuga Avatara," "Yuga Yuga Ke Avatar Tumi Ho," and then bhajans like "Bolo Bolo Sapnil Bolo Om Namah Shivaya."
Mm-hmm.
These are all his compositions.
Oh, wow.
Person who would have composed maybe close to 500, 600 bhajans.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then he used to tell us that, he was a contemporary or maybe a batchmate of Kishore Kumar.
Mm-hmm.
But then look at what God's grace has done to me, that I have also ended up on the other side of the hedge. I have also ended up singing were singing only the glory of the master, of the Lord of the universe.
Wow.
And we used to have a fantastic time with him, and Swami used to listen to his bhajans, and there used to be an air of expectation that today is going to be a new composition sung by, because he has come, Ranjan Jain has come. I think later on he also got appointed as the international bhajan convener or something in the Satya Sai International Organization. So I think he served in that role for a long, long time. He's no more today. But then this gentleman, I think we are going to... Most of his compositions are almost, we can call them vintage bhajans. And this being a very vintage bhajan session, we are going to take one of his compositions, I think today, Giridhar Mere Gopala.
So this is his composition?
Giridhar Mere Gopala is his composition.
Wow. Fantastic.
It's a beautiful bhajan, very simple, extremely profound, just four lines, no complications, as simple as the word Sai.
Yes. In fact, when you look at the compositions of those times,
yeah,
the compositions of Mohan Rao sir, the compositions of Virati sir, all of them are actually very, very simple.
Yeah, very simple.
And they would be just four lines and easy to follow.
Yeah. And that became the tradition of Prashanti Nilayam, the Prashanti bhajans, Sai bhajans. Just four lines. Last time we were talking about, you remember, the like Sugam Sangeet, the Sai Sangeet today.
Yes, yes.
It's a global movement. And we are a part of that global movement, and we have inherited these beautiful bhajans, and these bhajans are the bedrock of this movement.
Mm.
This is how they set the stage, the system, the tradition.
Yes.
Four lines, and wrapped between these four lines are the entire essence of a melodic pattern, a raga.
And also very deeply embedded spiritual truths and spiritual experiences, because as you said, they were not only great singers but also great composers, but I would add that they were also great sadhakas.
No doubt about it.
And that is the reason why, whatever came out of them pleased the Lord instantly.
Yeah. And whatever came out of them was instant poetry.
Yes.
It was a very beautiful flow of poetry. Like this word itself, Giridhara Mere Gopala, Sai Gopala, Radhe Gopala.
Because I was speaking to Mrs. Josna Reddy, the wife of Mr. Raja Reddy.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying how Swami was very particular that there should be no exhibitionism in bhajans.
No ostentation.
No ostentation at all.
Yeah. In fact, Swami one day in the bhajan hall told us very, very clearly that when you sing a bhajan, are you trying to prove anything there? You don't even need to prove that you are singing, you are a devotee and you are singing the glory of God. It's a spontaneous flow.
Yes.
Nothing to prove. It is just the state of being. And if that doesn't happen, if you are trying to prove your prowess as a singer, or if you are trying to even think that you are sitting there and singing, then the bhajan becomes just a song. It's no more an offering to the Lord of the universe.
As Swami says that, whatever I do, it is not pradarshan, it is nidarshan. It is only evidence.
Exactly.
Evidence of what I am.
Yeah.
Similarly, I think our bhajan singing also should never be a pradarshan.
Yeah.
But it should just be a samarpan.
Samarpan, exactly.
Of our devotion.
Ours is samarpan.
His is nidarshan. Because that is the evidence of what... Who he is.
Already is.
So our evidence of what we are is only our samarpan.
In fact, one day one of our boys were... These are some of the most beautiful, heart-touching sessions. One of our boys was singing, Tuhi Allah, Tuhi Yeshu, Tuhi Buddha, Tuhi Nanak. And then much after the bhajan, the Swami caught him there on the veranda outside. And then Swami told him, so you are giving me so many certificates. They're calling me you. You are this, you are this, you are this, you are this. You are Allah, you are Vishnu. Have you ever asked yourself who you are?
Oh.
Swami asked him. That is more important when you sing a bhajan than saying you are Allah, you are Yeshu, because all that you don't know.
Yes.
All that you need to know is who you are. And that is the purpose of bhajan, Swami said.
Wow.
Very enlightening moments.
In fact, she was saying, Mrs. Josna Reddy,
that two things which Raja Reddy sir used to always reiterate, which will always ensure that you experience that endearing relationship with Bhagwan, is you should avoid at all costs ahamkara and asatya.
Yeah. Beautiful.
See? So he used to always say that Swami is averse.
Yeah.
He will run away from you. You should not have ahamkara and you should not do anything that is asatya.
Yeah.
And be sincere, be simple, and he will love you. If she was telling, if I have to sum up everything that Raja Reddy sir has told me and about how to progress on the spiritual path, how to become near and dear to Bhagwan, how to experience proximity, these are the only two things. If you want to love Swami and if you want that Swami should love you dearly, don't have ahankara. There should be nothing asatya in you. Be simple and sincere. And I think some of these compositions are so powerful.
Yeah.
It's because of, I feel, the sadhana that these sadhakas were incessantly engaged in. And I think that is what endeared them to Swami so much.
No doubt, no doubt. Coming from a sage like Raja Reddy.
Yes.
Wonderful, really.
And you know, when you think about this bhajan, Giridhara Mere Gopala, I mean, Giridhara means the one who lifted that...
The mountain.
That mountain.
The hill.
And it is so easy for us to relate to this, isn't it? Because all that time, Swami in his little finger is lifting all the burdens of our heart. You know, most of the times we don't even know what he's doing for us.
How many times he would show his little hand and say that, I hold the entire universe in this hand. There is nothing that this hand cannot do. But then Swami would say that, I restrain from doing all that because I am not here to exhibit my divine powers. I am here only for to transform you and make you understand that you are divine.
In fact, I think through these compositions that Bhagwan gave them, Swami actually just lifted their beings. They were in elevated states. Because, like Mr. Raja Reddy, who always loved to be in meditation. Because I remember when we had called him for an interview also, he used to say that, you know what, I have become an incorrigible introvert. That's the only thing he used to say. And he says, the only thing I like is just to be in the waves of bliss. That's the only phrase that would come to his mind. Waves of bliss. And he used to spend 4 or 5 sessions every day only in meditation. And Mrs. Jyotsna Reddy was saying, I used to ask him, what do you do in meditation? You spend so much time. And he said, how to tell you? I can't tell you. It is only bliss.
You cannot express it.
It is bliss. That's all I can tell. It is bliss. That's all. What I think is, it was because of such purity in their beings that Swami loved to listen to them.
No doubt.
And these compositions have become timeless.
Absolutely. Because I have seen Raja Reddy in meditation in his house. I think we shared this last time. I went to his house and his wife, Bhabiji, asked me to wait there outside. So I waited in the living room for quite some time, almost after 2 hours. It was late in the evening. Mm-hmm. The man wouldn't come at all. And there was nobody except me sitting there in the living room. So I just went to see what he was doing. So on the other side of the living room, facing the seaside, I mean, you know, they lived on the 13th floor in Mumbai, in their house, and their house faces the sea. And the sun was setting in the evening. And there was a small cove-like thing, you know, that he had made there. There was a small place where he had kept a deer skin and he was seated on top of that. And then he was in deep meditation. His face was aglow in the evening. Whether it was the evening setting, the sunlight, the setting sun, rays of the sun on his face, or the sun within that was actually being emitted from his persona, he was at peace with himself. He was in deep meditation. And I just left him there and then went out. And when such a person who is all the time in meditation, such a person sings these bhajans, how would the bhajan sound? You can well imagine.
It's very easy for us to relate to Giridhara Mere Gopala.
Because he's the one who has uplifted our beings.
Yeah, yeah.
And he continues to do that.
Exactly. You know, this is also a beautiful imagery. The bhajan itself is the uplifting factor in our life. At any point in time, in any situation in life, when we just sit and sing a bhajan, we feel completely uplifted. It's almost, the bhajan itself is the Giridhar miracle that the Lord did.
Yes.
It is the bhajan. Every bhajan that you sing lifts your soul, you know.
Yes.
And then definitely it propels us forward. It takes us to a higher dimension.
Yes. I think that is what is Gopala all about, isn't it?
Exactly. The Gopala, again, the comparison with Pashupati or Gopala is the same. Again and again, this meaning keeps coming to you, that he is the one who is the keeper of the animals, the one who subdues the animals, or who masters, or the overlord of the animals, you know. So the animal instinct in you. And then you have given a place there for the Lord to sit. And then there goes the animal instinct completely. It just vanishes because the Lord is seated on it. So Gopala, again, so beautiful, so full of meaning.
So the first line, you are pouring out your love for Bhagwan. You are saying, this is my Lord, you know. Giridhara mere Gopala.
Because, personalized.
Yeah, because, you know, he is the one who is truly mine. Because he is the only one who can lift me up. And he is the only one who is there all the time.
In fact, when sometimes in life, when we are bogged down by so many trivialities, sometimes real problems and troubles, and then we want ourselves to be uplifted, and Gopala comes to your rescue.
Yes.
The one who can, he lifts up your, the huge mountain of all this burden, and then makes you feel so light and calm and peaceful again.
In fact, I'm just reminded of most revered warden auntie, Prem Bahal Madam,
who passed away
recently. She left her mortal coil.
Yeah.
And at the age of 38, when she lost her husband, in fact, her original name was not Prem. Her original name was a Parsi name.
Okay.
And after marriage, when her husband saw her loving nature towards everyone, he changed her name to Prem Bahal, actually.
Wow.
Because, you know, he felt that this lady is so much pouring out love towards everyone. And that was her nature. and when suddenly her husband passed away, and she was 38, and that was the time she actually came to Bhagwan. And when you mentioned how he lifts all our burden,
Well,
you know, that was a great moment of tragedy, too much for her to
bear.
That point in time bear. But at that time, you know, Bhagwan came into her life, and that changed her completely. You know, she became a pillar of the Satya Sai education movement.
Absolutely.
I mean, mothering 38 batches of students, generations of students.
The generations of students who came to her funeral, and letters pouring out from everywhere throughout the world. How many lives she could touch.
Such a devotee, what can she say? You know, it's a Giridhar Mere, you are mine. You are the only one who is mine. That is the only thought. I think every devotee will relate to it, isn't it? In
the
all our lives, we have our own tragedies, we have our own really trying moments, and we know that if there is anyone who was there when all the chips were down, it was only him.
A very deep connotation of Giridhar. It's not only a mountain that he has lift, he lifts, but then he lifts your soul, your your spirit, and then makes you completely. He liberates you. Beautiful. Giridhar mere Gopala.
And then we come to the next line.
Radhe
Gopala, Sai Gopala.
This word Radhe intrigues me a lot. You know, Radhe comes from Radha. The most ardent devotee of Krishna. To the extent that Krishna cannot be mentioned without mentioning Radha. But then the deity and devotee become such, so well assimilated, so beautifully blended together, that, you know, the deity, the God himself, yearns to earn the name or get the name of the devotee. So Radhe, he becomes Radhe from Radha.
I mean, Krishna loves to be called as Radhe.
Yeah, he loves to be called,
called Radhe. As Radhe.
Yeah.
And that is the most beautiful part, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, most of the time, if my name is Bishu, I want Sai Bishu. You say Sonam, you want Sai Sonam.
Sai Sonam.
You know, we want Sai to be attached to our names.
But imagine Swami saying that I want to be called Vishu.
Yeah, it's like that. You know, Krishna is telling, no, it's fine you are calling me as Krishna, but call me Radhe, I love it more.
Yeah.
That is the level to which, as Swami says, you know, the power of love is greater than the object of love.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. I mean, Rama Nama and Rama Prema is powerful, more powerful than Rama himself.
Exactly.
And these are anecdotes, the life of Hanuman, the life of Radha.
Yeah, when God is no different from his devotee.
Yes.
Just one and the same.
Yes. Wow. And no wonder, whenever Bhagavan talked about love, divine love, how to love, Radha would just come as the example. Radhe Gopala, Sai Gopala. And then we move on.
Nanda Kishora, Makhana Chora. The son of Nanda. If you look at it, if you think of it directly, the literal meaning is the son of Nanda, who fostered him, Nanda Yashoda.
But I like to think that he is the son of Ananda.
Son of Ananda, yeah.
I mean, he is Ananda and he is the son of Ananda.
Yeah, because he is born out of our Ananda.
Yeah, he is born out of our Ananda. Yeah. He is Ananda and he is born out of our Ananda.
No doubt. So Nanda Kishora, such a beautiful concept.
And Kishora, he is eternally young.
Eternally young.
That happiness of the Lord is eternal.
Yeah.
Makhana Chora, I think that's a very, very beautiful connotation, the way Bhagavan has to mention.
Only Swami has given such a graphic description of Makhan, the esoteric meaning of Makhan.
Yes.
You know, it's not that he was going into everybody's house and then stealing butter. But then the butter, what Swami says so beautifully.
Yes.
It's the butter of your devotion.
Yes, it's because the heart, the pure heart.
The butter is all the time there in the milk.
Yes.
But unless it undergoes the churning process, first it has to be curdled. Then you have to churn it. And then comes the butter.
Because the gopikas had churned their hearts so much.
So much.
So butter was all the time there.
All the time there. But once the butter emerges out of the milk, it's no more the milk.
Yes.
Because all the residual waters are just thrown away.
Yeah.
And it's the pure butter of devotion that the Lord cherishes to eat, to partake of.
If every bhajan that we sing become a butter, you know.
Yeah.
If during the bhajan, if that much churning happens, that, you know, what we offer is only the end result of the churning of our heart, which
no doubt
becomes like butter.
Every bhajan session would be Amrita Pravaha.
Yes.
Yeah, still it happens when we sing bhajan.
Yes.
Wherever, throughout the world, when people sing bhajan, there is an incessant flow of nectar.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it. But this flow, this butter that we are talking about, this Makhana Chora, the one who steals the butter of our devotion, and then finds santripti in doing that.
Yes. Yes.
And there is such a beautiful connotation, such a beautiful connotation on dualistic notes, you know.
Yes.
That the one who comes and steals the butter. So we are still given the prerogative to churn ourselves and then bring out the butter of devotion.
So the other interesting thing is, he steals it. It is like, if the butter is there, he's so eager.
Yeah.
He wants to come and take it, you know.
Yeah.
It's just that you have to do the churning process. So he's not a stealer of milk here. He's a stealer only of butter.
Exactly. And then he goes on to tell us the qualities of the butter. Mm. How the butter is so soft.
Yeah.
How it is white. So pure. He keeps telling us. And how it melts.
Yes. With little warmth.
Yeah. Little bit of warmth.
Yes.
And little bit of kindness, little bit of compassion. Mm. The butter melts immediately. So his heart is like the butter.
Yes.
Because he partakes of the butter of devotion all the time.
And Yashoda Bala Gopala, again you can go on talking about how Bhagavan used to so beautifully recall Mother Subhama whenever...
Karnam Subhama.
Karnam Subhama. When he used to talk about Yashoda. how Karnav Subbamma used to go into the hills and bushes of Puttaparthi and look for Bhagwan, carrying the breakfast, carrying those idli, carrying those dosas and searching for Bhagwan. You have spent the whole morning, because sometimes Swami would be just gone, no one knows where. And that was the pining love she
motherly
had.
Love.
Motherly love she had. I mean, and no wonder, you know, he loves to be called Yashoda Bala.
What a beautiful comparison. That Vatsalyata.
Yes.
That she felt for Swami. Wow.
In fact, there's so many devotees feel like that, you know. For so many devotees, Swami is the friend, Swami is their father, Swami is the child, Swami is their friend, Swami is a brother, everything.
Yeah.
He is whatever you relate to him.
Now, I remember one lady who used to, elderly lady, she used to live in the Ganesha Shed, Radha Amma. Mm. She came from one of the Himalayan villages, I think from Baksu.
Okay.
And that lady, every day she used to eat one meal in a day, and that after offering arati to Swami. Just think of it. She is not offering arati to Swami directly inside the ashram, but she would be all the time fasting, all the time thinking of Swami. And then after bhajan in the morning, she would go out there near the Ganesh temple and then offer arati. The camphor, she used to burn it right on her palm. And then offer arati and then go inside. And many times, as she would be cooking for herself, she would be lost in Swami. And then the whole food would be burnt.
Oh my God.
Once her entire hair, everything got burnt kerosene stove. Her son was a captain in the Indian army. He would tell her to, you know, go with him, but she would never relent. She would say, my place is here with my satya. And there was another lady, Menamma, during Swami's 60th birthday. She used to work, do manual work in a lot of houses here and collect little bit of money. And that money, I believe she had made some 2,000 rupees or something. And on Swami's 60th birthday, she went and offered that money to Swami, and Swami took it.
Wow.
And then she came home, and then she was so filled with joy that my satya has taken this money, which I had actually put together, I had, you know, for him on his birthday.
Wow.
That Vatsalyata.
These are the mothers who were preparing that butter. Exactly. Were stealing the butter from these hearts, you know.
That quality of Yashoda's devotion. You find that even today among devotees.
Most of the time you won't know about these people.
Exactly.
Yeah. Then Radhe Gopala, Sai Gopala. I know, I mean, we can go on talking about this bhajan. So
any
beautiful.
Bhajan for that matter.
Any bhajan for that matter.
Yeah.
But I think, I just hope that this gives us some pointers, something for us to help and all of us to ensure that at the end of the bhajan session, as we sing this bhajan, in some ways, there is some churning that has happened within, so that we can offer to the Lord as samarpan a little bit of that butter for which he doesn't have a problem being called a thief.
Really, really, absolutely.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Swami.
So that was Brother Sonam Gyamso from Sikkim, a senior member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group, and someone who is very passionate about Sai Bhajans and the growth and the propagation of the Sai Bhajan movement. With that, we come to the final leg of this classroom. We will now listen to the Prashanti Mandir version of this bhajan.
Go. So that brings us to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With heart full of gratitude, we offer this endeavor at the lotus feet for most beautiful, beloved Bhagwan.